Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
All right, so you know those times when you're out in the yard and you see your neighbor doing something kind of weird and you just get that, like, that prickly feeling, like, what if?
Oh, absolutely. Everyone's had that thought. What is going on over there?
Yeah. Well, this deep dive, this one's about a time when that prickly feeling turned out to be very justified. We're talking neighbor disputes, HOA drama, the works.
The kind of stuff that makes you want to check your property lines twice,
right? Oh, more than twice. So our source this time around is a letter sent to, well, you know, those Nightmare Neighbors podcasts.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Who hasn't secretly binged a few of those?
Right. So this is from their inbox. And let me tell you, it's a doozy. Like, buckle up your gardening gloves, folks. This one gets wild.
And this isn't some rare thing either. It's amazing how often these little property line things turn into full-blown legal brawls.
Seriously, our listener's story, it really highlights why knowing your HOA rules, those property lines, it's not just being a good neighbor, it's like self-defense.
100%. And it's not even just knowing the rules, it's how they get, shall we say, interpreted. That's key.
Oh, tell me about it. So this whole thing started, as these things often do, pretty innocently. Our listener starts getting these increasingly, let's just say, intense HOA letters. Seems their landscaping was not up to snuff.
And I'm guessing our listener was pretty sure their plants were on their side of the line, right?
Oh, yeah. They were convinced this greenery wasn't even encroaching. Which, side note, property surveys, people.
Honestly, they can save you so much heartache down the line. You think your property line's here, but having it official, that's peace of mind right there.
Preach. Especially because, are you ready for this? The disputed greenery, it was a mulch bed, a M-U-L-C-H baity.
Oh no, the dreaded mulch bed dispute. I've seen this one get ugly. It's like the Bermuda Triangle of landscaping.
And at the center of this mulch mayhem was, you guessed it, a neighbor who we'll call Karen.
Ah, Karen.
Yeah.
You just know this isn't going to be about a missing package, is it?
Not even close. This Karen, she was absolutely convinced that mulch bed belonged to our listener, like full on ownership claimed.
The assumed ownership dilemma happens all the time. Sometimes it's an honest mistake. Sometimes it's years of, well, I've always mowed up to this tree, so clearly it's mine.
And from the letter, I'm getting the vibe that this Karen wouldn't hesitate to lay down some mulch on your front porch if she thought it tied in with her petunias.
You know, I'm getting that same vibe.
So get this. Karen's reasoning for the mulch bed ownership. Some alleged verbal agreement with the previous owner.
Oh boy, here we go. The handshake deal defense. Always tricky. Because unless it's in writing, attached to that deed, good luck proving it.
Exactly. And this is something for anyone house hunting. Take note. Get that property survey. Don't just rely on the previous owner's word, especially when it comes to landscaping.
Oh, absolutely. Get everything in writing, clear as day. Saves you a world of headaches down the line.
Okay, so we've got the HOA letters. We've got Karen on a mulch warpath. What does our listener do?
This is where that good old documentation comes in. Uh-huh. Every conversation, every stern letter, even a photo of the offending mulch, keep a record.
Because you never know when you'll need it, right?
Exactly. Because, spoiler alert, things usually escalate.
Oh, they escalate, all right.
Yeah.
Our listener, probably tearing their hair out at this point, decides to just rip out the mulch, plant some grass, be done with it. Simple, right?
You'd think so.
Yeah.
But you have to remember, we're dealing with a particular personality here. What seems like a simple landscaping choice, it's a challenge.
And boy, did Karen take it personally. She went full on DEFCON 1 on our listener. Complaints to the HOA, accusations about the privacy fence being an eyesore. I mean, you name it.
It's classic, really. Deflect and distract. Overwhelm the HOA with so much, they start seeing our listener as the problem.
It's like Karen's playing chess. Our listeners brought a checkers board and nobody told them the game changed.
Ouch. Yep. Been there.
So what does our poor, beleaguered listener do? They order a property survey.
The best move in these situations.
Yeah.
That survey, it's like that friend who tells the hard truth. No sugarcoating.
And let me tell you the truth. It was about to cause a landscaping earthquake on that cul-de-sac. Because that survey, oh man, it didn't just say the mulch bed wasn't on our listener's property.
That's better.
Oh, it gets so much better. Turns out Karen's beloved chain link fence, the one she was protecting with her mulch life, yeah, encroaching.
No way. By how much, though? That's the real question.
2 feet.
2 feet. Okay, that's not a, oops, my tape measure slipped situation.
Right. 2 feet. you'd think Karen would be mortified, right? Huh. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Let me just back up this landscaping truck full of apologies.
Maybe whiff up some of those good neighbor cookies while she's at it.
Exactly. But yeah, that's not what happens. See, this is where it's not just about knowing the rules, but knowing when someone's decided the rules don't apply to them.
Oh, absolutely. There's a difference between a civil disagreement and, well, let's just say not everyone's playing fair in the suburban sandbox.
And Karen, yeah, not playing fair. Our listener, to their credit, tries to handle it all nice and legal, sends Karen a copy of the survey, a friendly note, even tries to get the HOA involved, promises to sort out the mulch once the fence is moved.
Textbook good neighbor behavior, trying to de-escalate, find a solution. Doesn't always work, though.
Oh, no, because what does Karen do? She calls in a landscaping crew and orders more mulch on the disputed 2 feet.
The old possession by landscaping tactic. Mm. It's not legally binding, but it can be pretty intimidating, especially if the HOA is dragging their feet.
And were they ever? The HOA basically told our listener to back down, stop all communication, the works.
See, this is why knowing your rights as a homeowner within your HOA, it's crucial. Often there's procedures, mediation, stuff that can help before it becomes a whole thing.
Because it became a whole thing. Karen, she went full on like suburban warlord on our listener, and I am not exaggerating.
All right, lay it on me. What does she do?
Picture this. Listener wakes up one morning and there's this sound, like a low rumble but constant. Turns out Karen's rented a generator and she's using it to power. Are you ready for this? A tarp.
A tarp, like to cover the mulch.
Oh, no, no, no. We're talking one of those giant, heavy-duty, construction-grade tarps strung up along the property line, blocking out the sun, casting a shadow over everything.
Okay, that's next level. That's beyond a property dispute. That's creating a hostile living environment right there.
Right, and if that wasn't enough, she'd rig these floodlights, and I don't mean those little solar ones. I'm talking industrial-strength stadium lights pointed right at our listener's backyard.
Whoa, okay. Yeah, that's... I mean, that could be considered harassment, easily. Creating that kind of environment, not okay.
And it gets worse. Flat tires, anonymous letters, even someone messing with their rose bushes, like full-on suburban sabotage.
Okay, see, now each of those, that's a separate thing. Property damage, vandalism, even animal cruelty, depending on what happened to the roses. This is a pattern of behavior now. It's like something out of a movie, right? But this is real life for our listener. And on top of it all, they start hearing things at night, like a low growl coming from behind the tarp.
Ugh, that's awful. It's classic, though. Use fear, make someone doubt what they're seeing and hearing. That's why having that timeline, those photos, it's so important. Grounds you when you start to feel like you're losing it.
I'm like, no, I'm not crazy. This did happen.
Exactly. Because when you're in it, it can be hard to separate what's real and what's, you know, the stress talking. Because it's about to get real stressful. Late one night, listeners up, probably trying to ignore the dulcet tones of Karen's generator opera, when bam, those stadium lights go on. They look out the window and there, in a rip in the tarp, is a pair of glowing eyes staring right at them. I mean, I don't know about you, but at this point, I'm calling the Ghostbusters, maybe setting up some perimeter sprinklers filled with holy water.
I'd probably be reaching for that property survey again. Like maybe it had a clause about demonic mulch or something.
Right. Our listener, though, much braver soul, they call animal control, which in hindsight, good call. Very good call.
Oh, yeah. Animal control officers, they're trained for this, mm-hmm. know how to de-escalate a situation safely for everyone involved, including the animal.
And thank goodness they were prepared, because things got intense. Like those officers earned their stripes that day, kind of intense.
I bet. So what happened? What was lurking behind the tarp of terror?
Well, as they got closer, the growling, it got louder, deeper, and suddenly this Rottweiler, I mean, huge GE dog, comes charging out, teeth bared, barking like something out of a werewolf movie.
See, this is what I mean about those what-if feelings.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're trying to tell you something.
No kidding. The officers, thankfully they were ready, managed to like calm the dog down, tranquilizers, the whole bit. But here's where it gets extra creepy. The dog had this makeshift collar, and scrawled on it in big angry letters was one word. Mine.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, that's sending a message. And honestly, that's a whole other level of wrong. Using an animal like that, not just a property dispute anymore.
Nope. Not at all. Thankfully, though, that was the turning point. The Rottweiler, it was Karen's undoing. The police got involved. The HOA finally, like, woke up from their rulebook coma. And Karen, She got a one-way ticket to, well, let's just say she had to remove that fence, pay for the damages, and hopefully find a dog trainer who specializes in no trespassing commands.
It's a shame it took something like that for folks to take it seriously. But hey, a win's a win, right?
Right. Our listener, they got their backyard back, although I'm guessing they're still checking for glowing eyes every now and then.
Probably investing in some motion sensor sprinklers as we speak.
Listen, if it keeps the mulch monsters at bay, I'm all for it. But in all seriousness, this story, it's a wild ride, but there's some real lessons here, right?
Absolutely. This wasn't just about a fence or some mulch. This was about someone feeling like they could take advantage, push boundaries. And honestly, it's something we see all the time, not just in HOAs.
Exactly. So folks, take away time, get that property surveyed, document everything. And if you even think you hear something growling behind a suspiciously erected tarp, call for backup, whether it's animal control or, you know, a lawyer who's not afraid of a little HOA drama.
But hey, maybe bake some cookies for your other neighbors, the ones who aren't building tarp fortresses. Solidarity is key.
Truth. All right, neighbors, that's a wrap on this deep dive. Until next time, stay vigilant, stay informed, and for goodness sake, stay on your side of the property line.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.